Tonight I pray that you continue to allow our hearts to be softened by the words in which we sing. And God, you did come as a babe and to die as a Savior. And God, as we sing that and we know that, as even through special message this morning, we realize that you are a God beyond all gods and King of kings and Lord of lords. And God, I pray that it's just not a song, that it is truly something that our heart rings and reigns, seen through our life. And God, we just give you the praise and the glory for that this morning. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Due to the season we are in, we're going to steer away a little bit from the Mark series we've been doing. And I want to introduce to you I don't need to introduce them to you, but I'd like to teach today and next Sunday both on two of the main people, humans, that God used, Mary and Joseph. And as we look at that, and then we understand that this morning, we realize that if you really look at Joseph and you look at Mary and you look at their life, they were two ordinary human beings that were really just set apart by God because of who they were. And when we look at that, we understand that, you know, listen, it's the same thing that God does today. You and I have the privilege and the ability that he gives us to be amazing people. Because, listen, he has a task and he has a mission for every one of us. So this Sunday and next Sunday both, we're going to look at Joseph next Sunday. We're going to see a little bit about his song and his story. But many times through Scripture, when God does an amazing thing in someone's life, it comes into a song. David had songs. Jeremiah had songs. Hannah had songs. A lot of individuals, when God blesses them, they break out into a song of praise. And so when we get a great understanding of what a song of praise is really all about, and why we even do a praise song here, is so that we can come to a point to where from everything deep within us that we can just cry out a praise to God. And I get excited when I know I do that. I enjoy that. I trust you get excited and do that. Because it's just not the words in which we sing. It's the heart we sing them and who we're singing them to. That's what makes it a praise song. And that's what makes it so different. And so when we look this morning, we're going to see a little bit about Mary's praise song. As if you're not already turned there, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And again, we see that in Mary's life, God used her in a great way. And we know that there are some in Catholicism and in the Catholics, they take her and they put her on a pedestal that I think we need to be careful of. Because if Mary, just because she was used by God for a very important task, doesn't mean that she is put on a pedestal that is equal with Christ. You see, Mary was very important in God's plan. And I want to share, just before we get into the text, you and I need to understand, when God looked at Mary's life, and God looked at Mary as one that he chose, he didn't just see this young girl. God saw this young girl knowing the depth in her heart that was devoted to him, said, not only is she going to be the one I want to use, but I also know she's going to be a great mom. I also know that when it's time to give up Christ to do the Father's work, she'll be willing to give him up. I also know that she's going to care and she's going to follow. You see, Christ, God looked at the whole picture. And I want to say that very importantly and carefully, because God looks at you and he looks at me. And he says, I'm going to call that person into a ministry. I'm going to let them be something or let them be a part of something, because he just doesn't see us in the moment. He sees us completed. He sees the mission completed. He sees us working out the days of our life. And listen, when anything breaks in that, it's our fault, because we made a choice that wasn't right, because we did something that wasn't correct in the plan. But I'm going to tell you, when he chose Mary, he didn't choose her to elevate her. He chose her to humble her, because God can only use those who are humble, can't he? God can't use those who humble or I should say, elevate themselves. Because if you want the praise of man, great. Go get the praise of man. That's all you're going to get. You want the praise of God, you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. You see, and we need to get this perspective of Mary. First of all, before we jump into verse 46, what we need to first understand is this realm of Mary a little bit and a little bit about her. So the first thing we need to see is, let me get this thing working here. As we begin to see the importance of what Mary, I think her life is made of, as the angel came to her, and earlier in the text, we find that as he came, he told her some very important information, as we see in verse 28, and it says, "And the angel came unto her," or to her, "and said, Hail, thou art highly favored with the Lord." And basically, is highly favored with the Lord is thee. Blessed art thou among women. So we see that she is not someone who already God was going to elevate to a position. God was simply going to use her as God chooses to use everyone. So looking at this, finding favor in verse 30, as we saw also in verse 28. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. What does it mean to find favor with God? I would like to find favor with God. Would you like to find favor with God? Listen, if not, you're on the wrong side. You got to find favor with God. So what does that mean? When the angel said that to Mary, again, the very, very great song, famous song, Mary, Did You Know? I really think Mary knew. Because as we study through this today, the song that she sings, she knows how great her God is. And so important enough when we see this. So I just want to define this a little bit, first of all. Favoring God, God seeing one full of grace. You see, that's the one who finds favor with God. One who God looks upon their life. He looks upon all that they're doing, all that they're saying, all the decisions they're doing. And he finds them full of grace. In other words, he finds them full of him. That's the grace. The grace of God that was given to us in the gift of Jesus Christ by the cross is what he wants to see. So when he looked upon Mary, he saw somebody who was full of God, had God's grace. And listen, this is before, way before the cross. This is while they were practicing what God has established at the temple and the sacrifices that they laid. And she had a faith as was counted with Abraham and all the Old Testament, a faith that was counted righteousness. You see, for you and I, it's the blood of the cross. It's the blood that has paid our price. For the Old Testament, it was their faith in God that he was God and would send the Redeemer. You see, when we look to the Old Testament and study it, we're looking back into history. As the Jews were looking at the Old Testament, they were looking where they were. They were looking to the future. They were looking forward. And so sometimes in our understanding and teaching, we need to get that. Because we look back and think, how could you have even done that? You know, really? But they're looking forward to the Messiah. Listen, the Spirit of God did not indwell them in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God wasn't in them. How much more faith would it have taken for them to have full of grace without the Spirit of God in their life to power them, to strengthen them? Think about how much more faith it would take, how much more of a mindset of belief it would take. Because listen, we're in church age, right? We have it easy, right? We've got the power of God in us, and it's easy to be full of God's grace. Probably not. Probably not. Because we still make those wrong choices. We still have that ability to have the wrong side of the brain thinking. Now, I'm not going to define the right or the left side of the brain, because then you're going to say, men and women. That's a topic that I'm not brave enough to touch yet. 30 years of ministry, we ain't going there. But what we need to find out is we need to realize that, okay, Mary was one that God looked upon and she was full of grace. That's why That's why he found favor. So now that led me to another question. What does that look like in reality? What does my reality look like if I'm full of grace? What do people need to understand or see? So what did people see in Mary's life? Because whatever they saw in Mary's life, when she came back from visiting her aunt, Elizabeth, however they looked upon her as this great, godly, young woman, was all banished and thrown out the door when she came back 3 months pregnant. When she came back through, and it's like, I didn't do anything. How could you convince somebody you did nothing coming back 3 months pregnant? You see, we, in our mindset, in our day, we need to realize what Mary went through. When she said to God in her praise song, which we were going to study, when she praised him for the ability to be used, she sacrificed everything she knew. Her testimony, her reputation, the possibility of losing Joseph, the possibility of being taken out to the priest at the side of the gate and being stoned to death. She knew, and she was willing to sacrifice it all for the cause of Christ. You see, that's somebody full of God's favor. That's somebody full of God's grace. Man, I want that in my life. I pray you want that in your life. That no matter what God asks you to do or calls you to do, that you're willing to do that. Because, you know, this time of year brings a lot, possibly some sorrow in many homes because someone's not there that used to be. Or that you're going through maybe a diagnosis. You're going through things. Listen, this Christmas season, as with every Christmas season, is the griever's holiday. Because it brings hope. He came as a babe and he died as a savior so that you and I can look beyond the days in which we live and we see him and we have hope. Man, this is the griever's holiday. And Mary was a part of that by being full of the favor of God's grace. So what does it look like in our reality? The first thing, one accepting what God is asking. One accepting what God is asking. Have you accepted in your life everything that God has asked of you? The correct answer is no. And not one of us here can say yes. None of us can say yes to that. Because there are many things that God may have been asking us. I'm not qualified. I can't go do that. God, you don't know who you're asking. Well, you know, sort of, I think he does. I know he knows who he's asking, and he knows what he's asking. And so the first thing of being full of God's grace is you're willing to accept what he asks. The second thing we find is one submitting to what he's asking. It's okay, God, I hear you, but I think we need to rethink this. No. God, I hear you, and I'm going to praise you for being willing to use me in whatever it is. You see, that's full of God's grace. That's somebody that is looking at the God instead of the circumstance. That's somebody that's looking at God's possibility of qualifying what he's asking you to do. There is not one thing that you and I cannot accomplish that God asks of us because, one, he is going to qualify it. Two, I can do all things through Christ. Listen, if you don't submit to what God is asking you, don't you dare quote that verse. Don't you dare be a Bible knowledge verse person and say, I can do all things through Christ. But God, I think we need to think through this. I'm not sure. It's a hypocrite. And listen, the world has seen the hypocrites, trust me. We have seen the hypocrites. And if we're going to just shout it from the mountaintops, the Bible is real, the Bible is true, God's word, there's no errors in it. It's all right. I can do all things through Christ, but God, we need to negotiate on this one. How do you think the world looks at that? And this is about, what does it look like in my reality? You can quote scriptures all you want, but if you can't see it in your reality, it's nothing more than words. Why? There's no power of God behind. Listen, I'm excited about the power of God behind me. You should be too, because you probably wouldn't want to listen to me without it. I mean, he does amazing things. And so I think accepting it, submitting to it, then the next one, the last one, living out what God is asking. Listen, if you got these three things down solid in your life, I guarantee you the next time God needs someone to do some ministry, you may just be finding his favor. You might be asked to do something for God. You may be asked to go across the work hour. You may be asked to go across the street. You may be asked to do something in ministry or to help out in some way. Listen, we need to get off the mindset that I'm not worthy enough. Or get off the mindset that I've done too much. God can't use me. And that is so unbiblical and so unfair to the power and the grace and the mercy of God. Listen, this is what we need to look like. This is why in verse 30, the angel said to Mary, you have found favor with God. Finding favor with God is his grace. His person, who he is, put into watching in your life. So, now that we know how Mary got chosen or why Mary got chosen, again, we need to realize that she was just a very faithful young lady that God found favor in, that wanted to be used in a special way. So, saying all that, let's jump over and we'll look at the praise song. First of all, Mary praised God from the inside out. A very key and very important. Look at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. This is after everything was told to her. This is after the angel appeared to her and said, you're going to be with child. This is after her visit with Elizabeth. And Mary now is getting excited because she's realizing that God is going to do something, because while she went to visit Elizabeth and the voices spoke back and forth, what happened to Elizabeth? John the Baptist was inside Elizabeth and he did a somersault. Now, y'all women, you don't know that, right? You understand that. Sometimes it's a soccer game. Sometimes it's a football game. Sometimes it's just an acrobatic roll. I don't know. Personally, never had that, okay? I kind of think maybe I was the one doing the soccer game, but I never, and it would just drop right there. But and that solidified in Mary's life also that there was something special going on here. So after all of that happened, we now come down to verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. From the inside out, we're going to tear it up a little bit. My soul, from the deepest part within me. We are to love a God with all our mind, with all our heart, and all our soul. That's here to here to here. The problem is a lot of times we get in here, and it may filtrate down to here, but very few take it deeper. You see, Mary, my soul, my life, my being, everything that gives me breath, when God created Adam from the dust of the ground and he breathed soul into him, he breathed life into him, Mary said, that's what's praising my God. It's just not in my head. It's just not because I know verses and I know songs and I know things that I can say. It's not just I believe. My whole being is praising my God. You see, that goes back with how she found favor with God, doesn't it? Because she was willing to listen. She was willing to submit. She was willing to act upon. And she praised her God in the midst of it. My soul, everything that I am, praises my God. Have you ever had that moment? Maybe that time in your life when everything within you just simply cried out to God. Whether it was at your point of your salvation, that's where it should start. And a lot of people, when they have that transformation and they go from a sinful person and they do all these things and God comes in and saves them and changes their life, and they do a complete 180, and all of a sudden, people are looking at them and saying, who are you? Where'd you come from? Because God did an amazing thing, and they're so excited. But then they get saved and go to church, and they're in church for 10 years, and it's gone. Why? Why is it gone? Listen, I'm speaking to me, and I'm speaking to all of us. Why is it gone? The longer you're with him, guess what? The more joy you should have with him. Why does it sort of get stifled? Why does it get buried? We should be the most joyful people this world's ever seen. We should be the most excited people this world's ever seen. We should be the people that mamas warn their sons and daughters not to bring home because they're goofy. There needs to be a difference in our life that they see, that they know. You see, fully surrendered to God means the world is an enemy with you. It means the world looks at you different. It means the world doesn't invite you to their deals. It means the world really don't want nothing to do with you. And the only way that's different is if you've compromised your Christian stand in the world you live in. We need to be careful. Because they need to see from our soul, everything we are, that we really want to praise our God. It doesn't work in a song if it doesn't come from the soul. The next thing we find, magnify the Lord. I love this verse. I love this saying, because not only did her soul cry out to God, but she magnified the Lord. Now, I want you to think, magnify. Magnify. What does a magnify do? It enlarges. In fact, I got one of them on my phone. Y'all got a magnifying app on your phone? I got it on my phone because I can't read very well anymore. I enlarge things, you know, right on the, just, it's a wonder technology. Yeah, you're all looking like, technology? What's that? Anyway, it's something that enlarges, brings into clarity. Something that's out of focus, something that you can't see, something that you can't read, it brings it into focus. What Mary is saying is that my spirit, or the Lord, my soul, everything about me is going to enlarge Christ, is going to bring clarity to who he is by somebody looking at my life. You want to be a magnifier? You want to magnify Christ? Listen, you need to be a person that is fully surrendered, finding favor to God, full of grace, in order to magnify. And that's one of the most important things we find about Mary. We see through just that one verse that why she found favor with God. How important that is in our life. Listen, God is still looking. When he claimed to his disciples, look, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Why did he say that? Because there's few people that he's found favor with. You go back to the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, God couldn't find anybody righteous but Noah. One person. We are the minority of our world, those who find favor with God. And I'm going to rephrase that, not only in our world, but we are the minority in the family of God that find favor with God. You see, we need to upgrade. Don't you love it when your phone upgrades? Your computer upgrades in the middle of what you're trying to do? This is a positive upgrade you all need to be happy with. When God wants to upgrade us and bring us up to another level, saying, listen, I trust you, God, enough not to worry about what my deal is. I trust you, God, enough not to worry about what the world is doing. God, I trust you enough that if you're going to ask me something, I'm going to listen to it. If you're going to ask me something, I'm going to submit to it. If you're going to ask me something, I'm going to live it so that I can magnify you in my life. That's what Mary was. She's not up here. She can't get any prayers closer to God than you and I can. But what she was down here as a young girl was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. You see, and this is the life that we need to see. This is the life we need to work towards as we look at her soul. And then in verse 47, it's quite interesting also, because when we look at verse 47, what we find is Mary praised God knowing who she was. Because who she was, low estate, saw her sin, but still used her. Mary knew that she wasn't worthy of this. Mary knew that God was just calling her to do something that there is no way, absolutely no way, she was going to be able to understand it, going to be able. Because it says in verse 47, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in my God, my Savior." In fact, it's interesting when you see that word rejoice, the Greek word there, to leap, ecstatic joy. Y'all need to know that Greek word, by the way, okay? Are you rejoicing that way? Listen, if somebody labels you nuts, at least you gave them a biblical reason for it. Okay? I'm just saying. They're going to talk about you anyway. They're going to do something to you that they're going to talk about you anyway. You might as well give them something good to talk about. You might as well make it a biblical reason. Yeah, I am nuts because I'm rejoicing. I'm ecstatic. I am so excited that my God sees who I am and still says, I want to use you. Man, that's great, isn't it? Man, it's exciting. Some of you agree with me. Some of you don't. As we look at this, again, the low estate saw her but still used her. And very clearly, is that that's what that verse said. He had regarded, in verse 48, he had regarded the low estate of this handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Now here's an interesting concept. When we see this low estate, it's very important. But the next thing we want to see is that called me blessed. We need to understand what she knew because we miss it, okay? Blessed in the Greek word, eulogonomy, meaning well spoken of. There's two different Greek words they could use for blessed. One is being blessed, and the other one is being well spoken. In fact, this Greek word is where we get our eulogies that we get at the funerals. You know, you give them funerals out, and I thought about this, and I thought, you know, I've been to some funerals where it wasn't well spoken of. There's some funerals that it's like, you know what? I'm glad he's gone. And I'm being straight up serious. There are some funerals that I have been, some I've officiated, some people that are so glad that the person was gone. Why? Because there was nothing well to speak of. The person lived a life that wasn't very honoring, and they were glad. Very little remorse that the person was gone. And then you come to this, and Mary, what is Mary saying? Mary Sims is saying is that she saw that Christ saw her in her sin, humbled at God still using her, and humbled to the fact that all generations are going to speak well of her, not elevate her, speak well of her. Why? Because she listened to the call of God in her life. She happened to be the one God called to enhouse the baby of Christ, to raise that baby, and let him go, and to let him go. You see, as we understand the acts of a mother, I know it's very hard. A mother's heart is probably the most strongest and powerful thing in this world. And as children, you'll either smile because of it or you'll run because of it. It all depends on what you're doing as the child. Because a mother's love goes deep. A mother's bond, and it's something you can't break. And it's no wonder when Christ came out at 12 years old, and remember the caravan left? As the caravan left, they thought he was there. All of a sudden, they realized he wasn't. They turned back around and went. And he says, what are you doing? I'm about my father's business. You never hear again in scriptures that Mary questioned anything. When they were at Capernaum at the wedding, and she came to him and said, listen, they're running out of the good grape juice. Again, do a study on the word wine. You'll get an understanding that it wasn't alcoholic. But you need to do something about this. And when Christ looks at her and says, no. She never questioned him after that. And then he did do something at that moment. You see, Mary understood what it meant to love a child and then give him over to God's service. And you know, parents, there's not every parent's willing to do that either. You can't go into ministry. You can't be a missionary overseas. You can't. can't do the, no, listen, you can't go over there. I need you here. You just stepped in front of God, working in someone's life that he found favor in. Wow. Ouch. Listen, we need to be careful. Our kids are not our own. They're on loan from God. Every one of them. And as they're on loan from God, we raise them the best we can. We teach them the best we can. We give them all the best resources they can get. And then they grow up and get stupid. I mean, they grow up and make decisions. Now be careful of that. They make their choices. They make their decisions. And it's not on you when they make them. It's not on your shoulders when they don't make the choices you know you trained and raised them to make. It's their God. It's their relationship. And you need to, best thing you can do is you pray for them, and then every opportunity you can, you lead them back to Christ. You tell them, listen, go pray about this. Go read this passage of Scripture. Go back to the truth and see what you come up with. You don't tell them what to do. You show them where to find the answers. That makes all the difference in the world, because then they're building their relationship with their God, and you're out of it. You see, that's what Mary did most all her life. At the age of 12, she began to be out of Christ's decision-making process. And God knew that when he found favor with her and called her, because he listened. She listened to what God said. So the Greek word, he spoke well of. You see, Mary praised God knowing who she was. And she knew that she had a life of sin. She knew she was unworthy of this. And that's why she was able to be so rejoicing and so excited that God chose her. Listen, there are times, I'll be straight up, there are times that as ministry, as a pastor, I get excited a little bit. And I get excited to teach the Word of God. I get excited to be along the bedside of somebody and sharing Christ with them, and they say the prayer of Christ, and within hours, they're dead. I get excited that God allowed me to be at that moment, at that time, in that scenario. That God would choose me to be. He could have chose anybody to be there. And we need to understand, when God puts us in those places, listen, submit, and live what he's asking you to do. And walk away praising God. You see, that's how we stay humble. That's how we realize it's nothing about us. It's nothing we can do, nothing in our own abilities. It's all of the power of God working in our lives. And listen, he can take the vilest sinner. Have you ever thought of describing or defining the vilest sinner? What does that person look like to you? I bet you we could have a whole bunch of answers here, huh? Well, I think a person that does this, or I think somebody who did this, or somebody abused this, or somebody, those are the vilest. No, we're all vile sinners. And we're that way because we are born into this broken world. We're born into this world in sin. And because of one man's sin entering the world, therefore death passed upon all men for all of sin. Romans 5:12. We realize the importance of we're all coming to God, and none of us are any better than the other one. And all of a sudden we accept Christ, we get the power of God in the life, and God looks at us as we're living our life for God, and he says, listen, I want you to do this for me. You see, that's the call of God. And if you don't have a calling of God to do and to be what you're doing, you need to think why you're doing it. Why are you doing it if God hasn't called you to do it? Listen, I wish I had the power to just say, listen, I really believe God wants you to do this. We'd have a lot of things accomplished. But I don't have that power. Because if you don't have a calling from God, listen, stay away from whatever you're doing. Because it's not of God. It's of us. It's of what we want. It's what we think. It's how we can make the money. It's how we can make our lives work a little bit better. It's what we are doing. And God's the one that says, no, but Mary, you could have had an easy life. You could have been espoused to Joseph, and you could have had your year of betrothal. You could have had your year waiting period to be married, and you could have had all these things accomplished and all these things done, and you would have still been that honest, awesome little girl and faithful to God, little girl, that the whole community knew you were. But she gave it all up for the cause of Christ. And folks, today, we are not willing to give up very much for the cause of Christ. We are not willing to give up knowing. Listen, you got to know it's from him first. Don't be a martyr out there for Christ unless Christ asks you to be, because it's really going to hurt if you do. But listen, that Greek spoken well of. And so we have a challenge in our life. We get to this point in Mary's life. She's excited. God is using her. She's praising God. And this is part of her song. As she's praising God, she's praising him from her heart with all that she has. Why? First stanzas, I am praising my God because he looked at my sinful life and still said, I want to use you. That's the first part of her praise. The second part of her praise, we realize, is that she praised God for who he is. She never forgot who she was, and she never forgot who God was. And there was never a muddied water in between. How important that is, because we see in verse 49, for he is mighty, hath done to me great things. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. She's now praising him. First, his power. I want you to think about what I just said about how much she gave up to come home from out of town 3 months pregnant. What did she give up? What did she lose? Probably most of her friends. She lost all the people. Listen, you can't hide that forever. You know what I'm saying? They're going to know you're pregnant. They're going to know things are happening. And as we get into Joseph next week, we're going to see God did an amazing, powerful work in Joseph also. Or he would have been along the line with everybody else. And so she lost her reputation. She lost her testimony. She lost everything that she was known as in that community because God asked her to. Now, how is that fair? How is that fair that God would ask you or I to do something that would mar our testimony to our friends and the people around us? Because God is looking at it as this is more important than that. His plan is more important than the list of friends you have on Facebook that you'll probably never meet. Who cares if you have a million people following you on Facebook? You don't know them anyway. But listen, if you want to make a lot of money, you youngsters here, you go into practicing surgeries to fix thumbs. You'll be rich in about 10 years because their thumbs are going to be hurting. But see, we need to understand. We got to get this because God here, his power. When she says in verse 49, she's praising him for his might, that done to me great things. What did he do to her? He put a baby in her belly with no one else involved. That's a little powerful, if you ask me. In fact, it's so powerful, it's never happened since. And you know how powerful it is? It'll never happen again. So don't let any teenager bring that excuse to you, okay? It doesn't work. God ain't going to do that again. You see, when God worked his power, what he did to me, she realized it only came from the power of God. God is the only one who could have done that. And he did it, and she praised him for it. The next thing we see in that verse also is his holiness. And holy is his name. What does holiness mean? What does holy? First Peter says that we are to be holy, for he is holy. What that means is we need to be one, righteous and pure. We need to be righteous and pure. She said he is so righteous and so pure that what he did to me was not a mistake. What he did to me is not something that I can look back on and say, man, God, you really messed up with this one. Or, as you and I would understand, we can't look back to God as his plan works forth in our life and say, but God, you blew it here. Why did this happen in my life? Why did this person have to go? Why did this circumstance have to take me? Why am I affected by that? God, it's unfair. Listen, we all need to put on our spiritual hard hats. Life ain't fair. Get over it. We're living in a broken world. We all will take a turn. And when we take that turn, guess what? We need to still find favor with God. Because Mary never, ever said no. Never, ever had a negative word to say about her God. Period. And I can't imagine Mary as Christ hanging on the cross. down to his stepbrothers, obviously same mother, different father, and said, take care of your mom. Take care of your mom. I'm done. And you can't tell me she didn't look up there and say, God, it's so unfair. What did he do wrong? He's innocent. We may say that, but we could be very wrong that our children are innocent. Mary could say that, and she wasn't wrong. You see, Mary understood that God's plan, God's ways, are more important than what we understand in our world. Because he is working all things to the good, in Romans 8:28, to those who love him. And so as he's working all this good, listen, we don't like the working. But he's simply here, Mary again, saying his holiness, he's pure, he's right in what he did to me. It was, why? Because I'm his. I'm his. God could do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it, and trust me, he will to any one of his children. We can't make sense of it, and yes, it is unfair in our way of thinking. It is not right in our way of thinking. It's not supposed to be in our way of thinking, but we got to get rid of our way of thinking. Because Romans 12, 1 and 2 doesn't say, keep thinking the way you're thinking. It says, renew, transform your thinking. If your thinking becomes stinking, start thinking better. And your thinking will be stinking by the life you're living. And we need to understand it's renewing your mind. Renew it. Bring it back to where it's supposed to be. That's what his holiness means. He has a right, he's righteous, he's pure to be able to do that. Then the last thing we see is his mercy. And he has it very clearly in verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You and I are now right there in Scripture. We are one of those generations from this moment. And we are one of those people that from generation to generation, his mercies are going to be upon us. And Lamentations 3:22 simply says, it's by his mercies we are not consumed. And they're fresh. Listen, every day I wake up, I guarantee you there's something that's going to be said to me, happen to me, or I'm going to see in my day that is going to overwhelm me and will crush me. I'll be for the mercy of God. Unless it was for the mercy of God, those things would tear me up. That'd be terrible. And those things, and I'm going to be right up front. While I'm preaching, I just got a trauma come through my ear in the hospital. It comes to my cell phone. My phone's there. It comes in my ears. So I'm trying to preach to you while people are talking in my head. See how, listen, I always got people talking in my head. Whew, got to be careful with that one. We never know when that trauma is going to come into our life. We never know what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you what we do know is we got a God who does. You see, that's what we hang on to. That's why Mary, that's why God said there's two people that I'm really going to use so that my son can come down, the word become flesh and dwell among us so that he could show us the difference, so that he could die. His blood would be the penalty of the sins of mankind. There's two people. We saw one this morning, Mary, who found favor with God. His mercy is something that will be spread from generation to generation to generation. And I am very grateful for his mercy. Because again, every day there's something that I see, something I've got to work through with people that just is a lot. But I always go back and say, God, you promised you wouldn't give me more than I can bear. But man, does he like to stretch them borderlines. He stretches that further than what we think we can go. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he will not give us more than we can handle. Here's the key, with him. With him. You see, Mary understood that. Do you think all the ridicule that came, all the fear that came, all what was Joseph? She, nowhere in her does she think, oh, what's Joseph going to say? She didn't, I say this carefully, did she care what Joseph was going to say? All she knew is what God was asking. And folks, that's where we need to get to. We need to get to a point in our life where we don't have a fear, we don't have a worry, we don't have anything in our life that goes against what God is asking. probably one of the greatest compromises in Christians' lives is we've allowed everything else to scream louder than the still small voice of God. Not in Mary's life. Man, she was up and after, wasn't she? I just enjoy the understanding of the study. So what do we do with this? First of all, are we fully sold out? Do we magnify him with our life? Two questions. Here's one. Are we completely sold out as Mary was, finding favor with God? We'll know that if they see Christ because we magnified him in our life. Do people see Christ in you? Do they see him through you? How are you responding to life? How are you handling the circumstance you're in? How are you living in a broken world magnifying Christ? You see, that's the difference. The second question we have, when we are gone, will people speak well of what we did for Christ? This is a loaded question. I am sure. In fact, as I look around, I am positive that you're going to have a lot of well things spoken about you. But will it be for what you did for Christ? See, a lot of people are going to say, man, they were a great guy. They were a great gal. They'd give you the shirt off their back. Man, they would do anything for you. They were great and great and great. But what did they do for Christ? Mary was well spoken of from generation to generation to generation because of what she did for Christ. That's what she was well spoken of. And I'm guaranteeing there will be a lot of things that we'll be able to people say about us, and there'll be a lot of good things that people say about us, but what will they say about what we did for Christ? That's the difference. And that's my challenge in my heart. That's my challenge to all of us today. Listen, I don't want people to say, you know, boy, he was good at this, or he was good at that, or man, he did a lot here, or did a lot there. What I want them to say is he was faithful. That's it. He was faithful. Served God well. Man, that's all I want people to talk about. Because trust me, in my life, I've given a lot of people a lot of reason to talk about me. I've given a lot of good things. I've given way too much ammunition. But what did we do for Christ? See, that to me is the Christmas story. That is the Christmas message. That is what God continues to want us to know. From generation to generation, my mercy, my grace needs to be magnified in your life. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the study. We thank you for who you are. And God, as we put this into perspective this morning, we realize that we're not making light of what Mary went through. We're not making light of, no doubt, the suffering that it caused to do what you ask. And Father, today in our Christendom, we sometimes we're soft. We're soft Christians because when it starts to hurt, we crumble. Instead of standing stronger, instead of standing taller, we give up, we quit. Father, I pray that in our lives today, we gain a great, valuable lesson in what it means to find favor from you. And we live out that favor. We take that in whatever you're asking. We listen, we submit to it, and we live it out in our lives. To you be all the glory and all the praise. And God, I pray that even this morning, there may be one here that does not know you as your Savior, one that has never surrendered their heart and life to you. That God, today will be that day. They will understand that that is the most important thing that they'll do in their life. Father, I want to pray even today for those who are hurting, for those who come with a burden that seems in the moment to be unbearable, for the ones that are coming here and wanting something that they can hang on to. God, we can hang on to the truth that you came as a babe, you died as a Savior, and you are carrying us, you are lifting us, and by your mercies, we are not consumed. And God, I pray for them today. And God, I pray that we continue to working through all of our hearts and as we meditate and think through what we studied today. We give you the praise in your Son's name. Amen.